challenge to fight, F-I-T-E. We're going to do a little bit of an acrostic today as we look at God's Word. We're going to be taking a look at two sources today. We're going to start with the most important one, with Scripture, but I'm also going to be making reference to someone else. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Without prophetic vision, people run wild, but blessed are those who follow God's teaching. I like this translation of this passage. This passage gets misused and misappropriated, mistranslated even sometimes, but it really gets down to the root of what the Hebrew words are actually saying. Maybe you've heard this, without vision, the people perish. That's not exactly what the Hebrew says. When it says vision, it means prophetic vision. It's God's vision, not just any old vision that you or I should come up with, or even that a church would come up with, but God's vision. And it's also prophetic vision. That means he reveals it to us through someone or through his word. And we know this for sure, not just based upon the usage of that word, but in Hebrew, there's especially in Hebrew poetry, which Proverbs is written poetically, they don't rhyme things and they don't have the same meter as we often do in our poems and hymns and such. But here we have what's called parallelism. And so they'll have a word that's a little bit different. You know, it's a different word, but it means something similar as the word that came before it. And in parallel with prophetic vision is God's teaching. And the Hebrew word that underlies that word is Torah. It's God's law. But God's law in its broad sense, not like his demands and the punishments when we don't meet his demands, but law as in law and gospel. So all of the teachings of God. So where there is no prophetic vision, where there are no teachings of God, what happens? People run wild. Is the world a mess? Yes. Is this country a mess? Yes. Do you know people who are a mess? Yes. They might even be in your own family. They might even be sitting next to you. It might even be you. Because it is me. I am a mess. I am a mess because I am a sinner. And we're all a mess because we're sinners. And ultimately, the world is a mess because it's full of a bunch of sinners. Now, the difference is you and I, those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, are forgiven sinners. And it's a gift from God. We can't boast about that and say we're better than you are, or be self-righteous about that, or be judgmental about that, because it's all a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't practice it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't choose it. God chose us, and he gave us that gift of forgiveness and salvation. And without God's word, without vision, people run wild. So we're going to take a look at God's word, prophetic vision, God's teachings. We're going to distill four big principles out of this. Four things that God tells us in his word that will make us champions. A challenge to be a champion, a spiritual champion, comes from doing these four things. I'm going to quote another authority too on being a champion. It's not just God's word. God's word is really all we need, but it's sort of fun sometimes to find somebody who has distilled some of God's word and applied it and shown how good it is. So as an example, I'm going to quote my favorite football coach of all time, Vince Lombardi. Let's start with the number one challenge. By the way, we're also going to look at Scripture behind all this too, so don't get nervous and think I'm teaching football here. I'm not, but using help from outside of Scripture to help us too. Challenge number one is focus. Vince Lombardi said, every time a football player goes to ply his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay, but more importantly, you've got to play with your heart, with every fiber of your body. If you're lucky enough to find a guy with a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off the field second. So who did Vince Lombardi coach? Green Bay Packers. That's exactly right. And the Green Bay Packers had a phenomenal record before he showed up. They were 1-10-1. So one win, 10 losses, and one tie. Wait, you said it was phenomenal. Well, yeah, it is phenomenally bad. I mean, that's terrible, right? But after he showed up, after only 1 year with Vince Lombardi, these average football players, because they weren't extraordinary, obviously, by their record, put in a better than average 7-5 record after his first year there. And after that, oh my goodness, that's when championships started happening. 5 championships happened under Vince Lombardi. And it went on. There are some people who say that the Super Bowl partly was invented in order to put down the Green Bay Packers and to make sure that they had more competition. Well, it turns out they also won 2 Super Bowls under Vince Lombardi's leadership as well. He turned average players into champions, and he did it because he believed in these average players. He believed that they were capable of being above average. And because he developed them, he trained them, he helped them to concentrate on the most important things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to concentrate on the most important things. And the most important thing is to have the right goal, the right focus. Because you can run hard, you can practice hard, you can train hard. But if you're going the wrong way, you're going to score a touchdown for the other team. That's not what you want. You got to have the right focus to begin with. That's the most important thing. Matthew 22:37-38 is God's teaching. It is prophetic vision. It's straight from Jesus, and Jesus at the end of it says, hey, this is the most important stuff right here, most important commandment. In fact, in Hebrew, if he said this in Hebrew, he probably said in Aramaic, so he would have used a word that's like Torah at the end, where it says commandment. So Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. Hey, that sounds like Vince Lombardi. Well, wait a minute. Jesus came way before Vince Lombardi. So Jesus did not get it from Vince. Vince got it from Jesus, right? Head and heart and everything in between, your whole soul, everything that makes you who you are. And by the way, it says love. This is the greatest commandment, it says. The most important commandment is to love. And this is not the easier kinds of love. This is that hard agapao kind of love, this verb form of love that says, I will do whatever's best for the person I love, even if it costs me my life, even if it costs me great sacrifice. I will do what's best for the one I love. That's the kind of love this is talking about. It's not talking about our kind of love. Our kind of love is a feeling that comes and goes. That's what our culture teaches. That's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, that God demands. God demands his kind of love, a self-sacrificing kind of love, and to do that with our head, our heart, our whole soul, everything that we are. Way too many Christians are pretty good about the thinking about Christ and thinking about Christianity and thinking about what they learn in church and thinking about what the Bible says, but there aren't nearly as many who are doing it, who are letting what God give them permeate not just their mind, but their heart and their whole self, their soul. That's what this is asking us to do. Spiritual champions use their hearts and their heads, or heads and their heart. Be not just hearers of the word, but doers, Jesus said. Vince Lombardi said also, you know what the longest distance in the world is? The 18 inches between your head and your heart, between thinking about it and doing something about it, because everything kind of comes out of your heart. I know you guys are not confirmands, but I'm going to give you a pop quiz anyway. Don't worry, I'm not going to grade it, but somebody who's even more exacting than I will, God will grade your pop quiz. All right, here are the questions. Number one, is your heart willing to believe what God's word says about your life? That you are chosen by God, that you are loved by God, that He has chosen you to be His very own, adopted you into His family, forgiven all of your sins, cleaned up your mess, and made you acceptable, not just acceptable to Him, but one that He then lifts up to be His representatives, and He sends you out with a mission to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people by your deeds and by your words, by the way that you interact with other people. And He gives you His authority and His presence that goes with you everywhere you go so that you can shine His light into the darkness of this messed up world. So that's question number one. Question number two, is your heart ready to receive all God has for you? And the biggest gift that He gives you is His word. And you're getting part of it right now. You were getting it earlier as Scripture was read, or as we sang Scripture, or as we received the Lord's Supper. All of these ways are ways in which God is giving us His gifts. And it's not just forgiveness, it's life and everything necessary to be more like Jesus, to have power and strength and endurance and win the race and win the gold. He gives everything to us. Thirdly, is your heart committed to running the race God has set out for you? Are you ready to go and worship and learn and serve as we summarize that here at Word of Life? So challenge number one is having the right goal, the focus. Focus on God with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. Number two, challenge number two is once you have a goal, you need to like be serious about doing your best to get there. That's intensity. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up, Vince Lombardi said. Vince Lombardi also said, if you fall, fall forward. You know, that gets you further down the field. That gives you progress. So fall forward. Someone else said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Of course, that was spoken by Michael Jordan. You've probably seen the commercial, but you may not remember or may not know that he wasn't chosen for his high school basketball team. He didn't make the team, didn't make the cut. He wasn't in great shape, and he had not really practiced his basketball skills. He had talent. Oh my goodness, did he have talent? But he wasn't ready to play yet because he hadn't practiced, he hadn't developed. He hadn't grown. It's not just having talent, it's what you do with that talent that matters. I love this one research project that was done by some social scientists because they set out to prove one thing and proved pretty much just the opposite of what they set out to prove, which helps you to really trust the results more, right? So the hypothesis that the social scientists said is that if you expect a lot of students, then you're going to get a lot of, out of students. And there's some truth to that. But expectation isn't everything. And so in this study, they basically took two pottery classes, same class in every way, except for they decided they would change the way that the students were graded in the two different classes. One set of students would be graded upon one project. Everything came down to one project, the best project that they could produce. They were to turn in at the end of the semester, and they would be graded on that project. And they did all of the technique, all the study, and all that that they needed to do to learn that. And the same thing that the second class got. But the second class was different in this one way. They were going to be graded not upon one project, but on the number of projects that they turned in throughout the semester. Now, the expectation was, you get what you expect, so if you have high expectations, the thought was the people in the first group would produce the best results. That was not at all what happened, because all these people who were like cranking these pots out every single session and doing all of these things, by the time they got to the end, they produced quality work, better work than the first group did, because it's not all about expectation. It's not all about doing your best. It's about practice. It's about intensity. It's about the quantity of time that you put in towards developing a skill or ability that makes the difference. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 8 through 10 says this about himself. I'm like an aborted fetus who was given life. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted God's church. But God's kindness made me what I am, and that kindness was not wasted on me. Instead, I worked harder than all the others. It was not I who did it, but God's kindness was with me. So here's Paul. He persecuted God's church, and so he says, I'm not fit to be an apostle, but here's what happened. And first notice what didn't happen. He doesn't say, I practiced really hard. I tried really hard. It's not what he says. He says, it was the kindness of God. It was kindness that led to his repentance. It was kindness that made him who he is, a redeemed, beloved, chosen child of God. Not his choice, not his prayer, not his actions. It was what God did for him. And then what was the result of God's kindness shown toward Paul? I worked harder than all the others. It was not I who did it, but God's kindness was with me. the same kindness that led him to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was his Savior, is the same kindness that then motivated him and moved him to work, to be intense, to go forward and go throughout the then known civilized world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people everywhere, with people who he didn't share a lot in common with. That's what drove him. It was the kindness of God. Your ability to get back up in life and be intense is all about God's gift of passion, God's gift of kindness shown toward you. I mean, when was the last time you got choked up because of something that God was doing in your life, or that you got fired up, or that you got excited about what God was doing, or you worked hard for something that he wanted you to do, or you shared Christ with somebody? When was the last time that happened? All of that happened as a result of God's kindness, a result of God's gifts, a result of passion. When you passionately pursue God's calling, people are saved and changed for all eternity. When you just simply receive, when you're connected to him, and then you're obedient and you do what he asks you to do, motivated by his kindness, when you're intense that way, then things happen. Positive things happen. Word of Life is all about joining Jesus in building a bigger heaven and better lives. It's about focus, and it's about intensity. Going to the right place and going as hard as you can, working hard to get to that right place. The third challenge is training. Always working to get better, learning from others, making mistakes, learning from your mistakes, not repeating those mistakes. It's not just about hard work. It's about doing smart work, and that comes from training, having somebody coach you, learning from other people. It's basically doing what you don't want to do in order that you can do what you've always wanted to do, or getting what you've always wanted to get. Sometimes you just have to do what you don't want to do in order to do what you want to do, or to get what you want to get. If you've ever run a marathon, I know some of you have, or even a half marathon, I know many of you have, or played a sport, or learned an instrument, or worked on any skill that just takes a long time, you know that it requires not just focus, not just your hard work and practice, but it also takes training, other people coming alongside you and helping you to get better than what you could be if you simply worked on it all by yourself. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 25. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. There was a runner in the Olympics many years ago who basically ran his whole life. He loved running, and so he enjoyed running, and he trained pretty much his whole life. But when he got to the point where it was like, I want to go to the Olympics, he realized that he was going to have to stop everything else that he was doing and concentrate on that goal of going to the Olympics and winning in the Olympics. And so he took 2 years out of his life, pretty much full-time. You know, he had no job. His job was to train for the Olympics. And so every day, all day, pretty much, he worked at being the best runner he could possibly be and being the best in his event. When he finally reached the Olympics, his event was over in 2 minutes. 2 years of your life for 2 minutes. He did not medal. He was interviewed afterwards, and he was asked, was it worth it? And he said, absolutely it was worth it. And they said, why? And he gave 3 reasons. The number one reason is because there's nothing like functioning at your peak capacity of being in that groove of having that flow of knowing I am putting it all out there. There is nothing more. I am doing my absolute best at something that I do well. So that was the number one. Number two was it's really fun and exciting to be somewhere where you're a part of something that's bigger than you. The crowd is feeding you. You are feeding the crowd. And there's this like symbiotic relationship where you get excited, they get excited, they get excited, you get excited. And the sum is greater than its parts. So he said that was number two. Number three, he said, I know that my running pleases God. That when I do my best at running, God is pleased that he has given me that gift. And so, yes, it was worth it to spend 2 years of my life training and preparing for 2 minutes of the Olympics. Hebrews 12:2-3 continues with this runner image that Paul brings up in 1 Corinthians 9. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. So in other words, think about the toughest race that you've ever been in or that you're in right now. The biggest obstacles you've ever faced or the obstacles that you're facing right now. And what does the author of the Hebrews say to do? Compare that. Compare that to the cross, to all that Jesus did for you. The cross, the shame, the beatings. And think of where he ended up. And it says that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. It will give you what you need, not just to get through the obstacles, not just to get through the race, survive the race, but to thrive in that race. To say at the end, it was worth it to do what God wanted me to do at that time and at that place. To function at my peak capacity with his help and to do that as a witness to others, to the crowds who are there. So, focus, intensity, training, and fourthly, everything. That sort of like sums it up, and it makes it make a nice word. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. So there you have it. Jesus says, focus. Focus on God. Focus on loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Run with intensity. Be intense. Do your best work, your hardest work. Train, get better, get help. Put in everything. Do everything. So will you? Will you? With the Spirit's help, I will focus on God with all my heart and my head. Focus on God. I will run with intensity, even when I fall. I will train hard to win with the Spirit's help. I will learn from others. I will get help. And fourthly, I'll give it everything I've got. I'll put my whole self into it. Will you?